We are Simen Pei Dal, we're starting Halacha Tes. Okay, the Mechaber says, Avar Ubisho Torchi Beis Chodesh, if you cook the food within 12 months, meaning when the bugs are in there, still Asher B'loi B'dika, without checking it first, so you did the wrong thing. The last Halacha said you're supposed to check the food before you eat it, and now you did it. You messed up, you cooked it. Im Yachol L'Dok, if you could still check now, so by the way, so going fine. So go. That's no problem. So check it now. If you're not able to, you're not able to check it anymore, mutter. Then the food is going to be mutter. And the Mechaber finishes off this part. He says, if you find some leftovers and some bugs on the side, then you should throw them out. Okay. So we're really not actually going to talk about the part of what the Mechaber said so far. Probably get to that a different time. Probably not next time. Maybe the time after that. But for now, let's just. We have to talk about some things really to get into this halacha in the first place. And that is, the last halacha mentioned something. It said that if something is commonly infested, then you have to check it. You have to check the bug. And our halacha got into a little more of the details. And in our halacha, the place can sort of talk about what that term common means. Okay, we say that if something commonly has bugs in it, then you have to check it. Okay, what does that mean, common? Okay, and what they take it that it brought in our halacha. That's what we're talking about here. They connect our halachas to hilchos treifus. Okay, the rules that we have for here, for what we check, is connected to hilchos treifus, which is there are many ways that an animal can become treifa. There are many ways that can happen, but lamaisa, we only check the animal's lungs. We don't check the whole animal. Why is that? We only check the musicals. Why do we only check the animal's lungs? And not everything else. So there's different answers to that question. Why in hilchos treifus don't we check everything in the animal? And the most widely accepted, well, basically, is what the Rashi says. It's at the beginning of Chulin. The Rashi says, he starts as follows. He says, roiv animals are not treifus. Roiv types of treifus don't occur. And therefore, mid derisa, you'd be allowed to eat the animal without checking it at all. You'd say, you follow the roiv, and you'd say most animals are not treifus, so you're allowed to eat. However, Chazal made a requirement, with Rabbanan, that you're going to check the animal to see if it's a treif. Okay, and the Rashi says that there's two reasons why that takana only applies to checking the lungs and not anything else. That's what the Rashi says. The Rashi and all the Rishonim say that the minhag is to check only lungs, and he's explaining what the reason. He's going to give two reasons. The first one is what you probably would have guessed that I'm going to say, which is that the lungs, which is a great start in, having been a matzui. The lungs are the kind of treifas that happen most commonly. It's a common minority. It happens often enough. And therefore, that's what Chazal said, you're mechuyev to check for that thing. Other treifas, treifas that are other far-fetched, that, you know, something could be wrong with its heart, with its brain, those things are very rare, and therefore Chazal didn't require you to check those. Again, Midrash, you not to check any of these things, but Midrabanan, mechuyev to check these ones that are more common. Tur, Simon Lamtes, seems to bring this reason. That's what he thinks, seems to say is the main reason. And what would happen then, according to this reason, what happens if the metzias changes? Then, you might have to check different parts of the animal. In other words, there's nothing magical about lungs, it's just, it has to do with what's more common. So, for example, 2 years ago, in 2009, they started noticing that they were shechting chickens, they started noticing that there was a problem of treifas in the Tzomis HaGidin. Okay. What the treifas was is really not so important to us, but they started noticing that it became very common. So they started checking animals. They started checking chickens because there was this problem that they were having. So no, there wasn't anything magical about lungs. It's that it's what's common. So Tzomis HaGidin started having a problem. They watched it. If you want to the end of the story, was that they eventually figured out why it was happening. It was strange. It was all of a sudden there was a flare-up. They eventually figured out what happened. And once they fixed the problem, there were no more problems, and they stopped having to check them.
Did they check each one, or they just
check samples? No, I think they just check everyone. I don't remember the details. But they started checking because it was a problem. And they noticed that it was becoming matzui. If it became matzui, then they could check. In fact, in Eretz Yisrael, they always check chickens for Tzomis HaGidim. They have problems with the Tzomis HaGidim all the time. Okay, so in other words, there's nothing magical about lungs, according to this reason of the Rashi. It's just which ones are matzui and which ones are not. Okay, the other reason the Rashi says is that, he says, I'm not a shaykh, but he says, when you shecht an animal, and you then cut it open to then use the animal, he says, if you wouldn't look at the lungs to see if the animal's a treifa, he says, it's looked like you don't even care about treifas. He says, his words are, nira kamalam einam in ha'isr. It's as if you don't care. It's so easy. The lungs are right there in front of you. You have to cut the animal open anyhow. why wouldn't you check it? Some say, yeah, then it's a whole thing, and you have to slice it open, and it's a bit complicated, and other check the animal's brains. Who looks in these places? But this is such an easy thing to check. If you wouldn't look at it, it looks like you're callous, like you don't care about the din. And therefore, Chazal said you have to check it, not because it's a common treifus, but because it's an easy treifus to check. Okay, we'll see, in Mishnah Shem next time, the Prim Gadim in Lamed Tes and the Mechas Yachid both seem to make it as if this is the ikar reason. And for that reason, Ramosha says, that if you have, when you're cutting open chickens, I don't know if this is what they do at the slaughterhouses, but when you cut open chickens, a yid, that means a yid who knows what he's doing, needs to be the one to cut open the chicken, because even though we don't check lungs of chickens, but even so, you want a yid to cut it open, because if there'd be something grossly wrong with the animal, that would be a shiloh of treifas, at least someone who opens it up should have some idea that would notice that there's a problem. So don't have the guy open it up. Because the using evil, in other words, the Rashba says, the reason why you check for treifas is it's so easy, why not just look inside and just look at the lungs, what's the big deal? It's like as if you don't care about it. So therefore, if there's any reason, that any other way, the other thing that would make it easy, in other words, who's going to cut up on the chickens, a yid should do it, Rashba says, and shouldn't have a guy do that. Okay, so,
let's go to the second reason. What's the makar of the key of the check for all mitzvah things?
According to the second reason, there's no such rule as mitzvah. It has nothing to do with mitzvah and not mitzvah. It has to do with easy and hard.
And like, you have to check vegetable. I mean, all the
so that according to that reason, if that would be the reason, if that would be the only reason, I don't know that these are arguing with each other. Like, if this would be the only reason, then you would check vegetables. That would be easy. In other words, you say, if I could just pick it up and look it over, so why shouldn't I do that? It's as if I don't care that there might be bugs in there. If I'm just eating things without looking, I don't care. But that's because checking a vegetable would be considered easy. Or I'd be mechuyev to check when it's considered easy.
There's a chumra that you would have to
check.
It would be a chumra. Let's say check
carrots. You have to check like anything because...
Right, because, hey, why not? Why not look at it? Okay. I mean, the truth is, you probably know. Chayadim says, hey, I think it's Chayadim. He says, it's a good practice that I do all the time. Before I eat any food, I look to see if there are any bugs in it. He says, and you don't know how many times I was saved from eating Isser by doing that. Okay? No. Look, he's reflecting this point, which is...
It's a whole different set of rules.
It's a completely different way of looking at it. Right now, in our, as we see by our halachas, okay, everyone uses
the
words.
Says
mina. I said, well, if you wait in Mir Tashem next time, we're going to see a possible application to this. Okay, I'm just, okay, anyhow. So, but in Mir Tashem, that'll be for next time. I'm bringing the Rashi, and everyone connects ours into Hilchos Treifas. Said the reason why you check certain vegetables has to do with Hilchos Treifas, and these are the two big reasons that are given over there. So because of this, we say what Yossi is saying, basically are following the first reason. If there's a meal, I'm obviously going to check it. And the second thing is, which is what our halacha was, is what happens if you cooked it without checking? What happens if you forgot to check? Okay, well, what's the Hilchos Treifas? If you forgot to check, we're not going to Hilchos Treifas, but there are situations in Hilchos Treifas that if you forgot to check if the animal's a treifa, and you can't check it anymore, on the circumstances, the animal's not there. You're allowed to eat that animal. So, same thing, that's exactly what the Mechaber said by us. If the person forgot to check, under certain circumstances, if he forgot to check, he's not eating the vegetable anyhow. He cooked the vegetable, it's too late to check, under certain circumstances he could eat, and in fact, much of our discussion about this halacha will be about that. People trying to apply that case. When is it that I'm allowed to eat it, even though I didn't check it? Meaning, remember, midraisa, I'm not going to check at all. It's a chiyuv d'rabbanan. Well, it's only chiyuv d'rabbanan in certain cases. And the fact that it's a chiyuv d'rabbanan means if I forgot to check, or I'm not able to check, I might be allowed to eat it anyhow. That's what's going to be lots of our discussion later on. Not for today or next time, but for later on, of the possible ways to apply that to lamaisa, to be able to eat foods under certain circumstances. Okay? Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is, what does that mean? I told you that where this term came from, and the Mechaber actually mentioned in the last halacha, that there's such a thing called the Mi'an HaMotzei. Well, what does that mean? Okay, so we're not going to get into very gory details, but we're going to see that there are three different sets of arguments as to how to define this thing called Mi'an HaMotzei. Okay, before we go on, I just have to tell you, it's sort of going to get to the end of halacha, that there's another, I don't know what the word is, another level. Okay, we have this thing called Mi'an HaMotzei. If it's a Mi'an HaMotzei, you have to check it. But there's something called Mi'an She'ein HaMotzei, it's so rare, you don't have to check it. In other case, you have a carrot, no one ever finds bugs in carrots, you don't have to check. That's mutual inwards. We're going to see later there's a higher category called mukhsit b'tolim, that it's very, very common to have bugs in it. In that case, it's mukhoyim l'chayrim, mukhoyim mid'raisa to check. Okay, we're not talking about muchzik today. We're focusing on what the common detriments are, which is Beit Hamatz. Okay, there's three layers of argument about this thing. The first is, Rav Osner says, the way you define Beit Hamatz is, I'm saying the way Belsky explains it, is that the way you define Beit Hamatz is, when someone finds a bug in that vegetable, is he surprised? When you find it, if you pick up a romaine lettuce and you find a bug in it, you're not surprised.
You know, everybody knows that it happens every once in a while that you find a bug in romaine lettuce.
You're not surprised. If you pick up an apple and you find a worm inside of it, it's a whole to-do. At least in America. What a strange thing that you found the worm in it. It's a surprise to the person. Okay, so you judge it by just to an average person, does that seem typical or not typical? Is it within the range of regular things that happen that you do or don't have a bug in it?
There's no numbers.
Right, that's correct. That's where Rebelsky holds a variation. Very much attaches a lot of merit to this. Rebelsky a little bit holds of the other reasons, other things we can say, but he attaches a lot of merit to this point, which is you have to look at it, is it you expect it or you don't expect it? Are you surprised or not surprised to find the bug?
Isn't the only reason you're not expecting is because everyone's telling us to expect or not expect? If you go to a guy and say, "No, there's a lot of bugs in your room, lettuce," so don't be surprised. But if you go to a Jew and say,
"Okay, so you're right that it needs someone who has some experience. What I mean, who's used to it because he's done it beforehand. What I mean is, if you never looked at a vegetable in your life, you can't say, I never saw any bugs in this vegetable, because of course not, because you never sat in the kitchen. Or if you say a guy who's not focusing in that way of looking for little bugs like that, you say, of course he's surprised because he doesn't know what he's looking at. But he'd also be surprised if he told him that if you put sugar into a pot, it could turn into caramel. He's like, what a surprise. Well, they're not surprised. That's just the way things are. So yes, a person needs to have a certain familiarity. But a person, if you check 10 heads of romaine lettuce, you would know that there are bugs in there. Well, that's not a surprise.
So this would be like more of a chumrah, no? It would be more than 10% probably. It would be like 5%.
Okay, interesting you should say, I'm going to give you an example in a minute. I'm going to get back to that in a second. Okay. Everybody knows that the Mishnah Yaakov doesn't agree to this. The Mishnah Yaakov came up with this idea that there's a mathematical way of determining if it's a Beit Hamatz or not. And he says that there's a...
Who's
the Mishnah Yaakov? Am I saying it right?
Edlinger?
No, I'm saying wrong. I'm sorry. That's Bachlinger. I'm sorry. I don't remember who it is. Whoever it is. We'll look in the Svarim, the Seifrim, and find out what it is. He says that if it's more than 10% infested, then it's a Beit Hamatz. And if it's less than 10%, it's not Beit Hamatz. Okay? That's what he says. And he brings a raya from a Gemara that people agree or don't agree with his raya, but he brings a raya, and that's what he says. This is like a footnote to that is, within this idea that it could be 10%, there are those who quote Israeli poskim who say that it's even less than that, even 5 or 7.5% less than that. And the opposite extreme is that the Rivash says that it has to be karav lemechza. Okay? So if you know, he said, everybody basically accepts this 10% number, but you should just know there are numbers on the opposite extremes also. Okay? The Rivash says it's basically half the time, and others say even less. Okay, but 10% is what people think. Because that's our first machlokes. Should we use it just like sort of like a common understanding of, yes, I expect that, you don't expect it. And the second, and the other is this more formal, more mathematical way of looking at that is 10%. Okay, that's our first machlokes. Second is...
Back to the surprise thing,
yes.
Very objective.
Very objective?
Subjective.
Because?
It depends on the person.
Okay.
So is it hard, are you going to make a call from it? Or are you going to... How are you going
to
do that?
How are you going to explain what it means to be surprised or not surprised?
Right.
Okay, that's a fair question. I suspect, and I'll say this later again, that we think of this because we're very modern and sophisticated, and we think of things like in percentages and have to be, you know, fit into 19 little categories, but that 100 years ago, that was what most people would have thought. Just like, you know, we usually have it, or we don't usually have it. That would be a more, you know, logical, not from a modern perspective, from a more traditional perspective.
Yeah.
We're more scientific at work. Okay. Second is, now that we say we should have 10%, so how are we going to define this 10%? Okay, another famous machlokes, you picked the wrong week to come, another famous machlokes, okay, the Shlomo Zalman says, and others as well, Rabbi Asher says it, Rabbi Elsky says it, what should you do, how are we going to decide 10%? He says, if you have a head of cabbage, so if you have one bug and 10 heads of cabbage, so that's 10%. Okay, so if you had 10 heads of lettuce, and you had one bug in 10 heads, so that's 1 out of 10 have a bug in them, that's considered a mina matzah. Okay? Rav Shachter and Rabbi Schwartz say, no, you don't go by the head of cabbage, you go by the servings of cabbage. So if 2 heads would serve 10 people, so we say 2 heads serve 10 people, there's 1 bug in 2 heads, then it's awesome. Okay? But, so that comes out kula. In this case, that's coming out to be a kula, because if there'd be 1 bug in 5 heads, this second way of looking at it would say, that's not a mina matzah. It's too rare. There's only one bug in every 25 servings. And the other way of looking at it would say, if there's 1 bug in 5, that's way over 10%, that's
20%. Is there a source of this mina
matzah? No, so all, that's what I'm going to say to you later. No, none of this, from this second and on, is completely people's hashara, people's judgment as to how they think it should be. And you'll hear a little bit why they're making these judgments in a second. And then the third machlokes is, if you want to say that it goes by servings, Rabbi Shapta says you look at those servings by each person, and not only by each person, but by the maximum that person would eat. Okay, so that means is what he says. The way we're judging a meat and a matzi is: are you likely to eat a bug? Is it 1 out of every 10 times you can eat a bug? So if you like to eat 3 ounces of the food, so then for you, meat and a matzi is 1 in every 30 ounces. If I eat 5 ounces of the food, so then for me it's 1 every 50 ounces of the food. I said the other way around. All right, got that back. Okay, anyhow, so if I eat 5 ounces, right, so 1 in 5, 50 ounces would be a mina matzah. That's what he says.
Does anybody say it's every bite? You go up to 10 bites?
Every bite? That I haven't heard yet. Sorry.
Logically, then why shouldn't that be the case?
Because?
I'm done with the issue of a head there. I want to know, what am I supposed to do before I do what? Before I eat every bite? Is this bite mutter or not? Okay. Am I allowed to bite into this and swallow? Why is it pounded into the serving? The child is not on the serving. The child is not allowed to eat this bite.
So maybe next time I'll stick that third sheet in. That I never heard of. That's really...
I don't understand why logically...
You're saying a big... Yossi, you're saying...
Transformer.
It's a kula. Yeah. Because it means is, right. If I can eat 20 bites in one serving, and he says, no problem, I could have 2 bugs in there, and I'm safe, you know?
That's correct, right.
Okay. He's looking at it, it's like, if I'm sitting down to eat, am I likely to get a bug, or am I not likely to get a bug? So if in 10% I'm going to get a bug or not, that's what he's... Okay.
I mean, they have this question by Shabbos. That's the situation.
No, you're looking at produce right now. Not as in a new.
But it should be in a new.
Why?
Because
what I'm learning at servings is looking at me, not the produce. It's looking at me. Am I likely to get a bug? So the way to look at it is like, I'm sitting down to eat supper. Am I likely to eat a bug? Am I not likely? So from 1 in 10 times, then I have to check or I don't have to check. So he's saying, well, what do you mean? But I'm not sitting to eat supper. I'm sitting to eat, here's my first spoon I'm eating, and here's my second spoon.
First of all, in Shabbos, when someone's in Shabbos, you can do something with some secretion or not, right? So you don't say, like coming here, right? You don't say, well, it's a secretion. Let's say I'm going to comb for 10 minutes. I don't say, well, it's a psychic ratio. After 10 minutes, you're going to pull out of here. That's don't right. say that. You say, I've got to comb every brush. Is each one is a psychic ratio or not?
Okay. Yossi, go for it. So, that's a big clue. Okay. And others say that when we're making the serving size idea, we go by an average serving size. Okay, we don't say, but we don't look at every time I eat and each person individually. We're not so subjective. We look at generally, how do people eat this food? Okay. So now that I told you these 3 layers of disagreement, how you should do that. We have a whole pile of questions on this. If you're going to say, like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, we don't go by servings, we go by the item. Okay, we have a head of lettuce, so we say we go by the head of the lettuce. Okay, well, what do you do when you have a small food? What do you do when you have raspberries? So should we say it's 1 every 10 raspberries? That's what it is? Well, raspberries come, you know, little, each cute little raspberry, one at a time. So we say 1 in 10 raspberries has to have a bug, otherwise it's okay? What about parsley? So we say only one, you know, parsley comes in this. Like leaves, sprigs of parsley, is that each one of them a thing? So they say, no, it's not by the piece, it's by the unit. Okay, well what's a unit? What's a unit? Well, a lettuce, okay, that's one lettuce, is one unit. Okay, what about blueberries? You can buy blueberries in a pint, or half a pint, or in a pound bag. Okay, so which one of those is the unit? Well, which one of them, you can say it's a unit of it. Well, what's a unit? Well, does it depend on it? So in Koltov, it is a mina matzah. But in 10, it's not a mina matzah because they sell it in different size packages. What does that mean?
You say it's a unit how it's sold?
Yeah. How you group them together? Well, what does that mean, how you group them together?
That's what they say.
Yeah, well, what does that mean even? Well, does that mean, you have to find some way. How are we going to define it? We can say each piece of parsley is on its own? Each blueberry is on its own? Well, that's so. You can't say each blueberry is on its own.
That's a problem.
It's a question. That's a question on them. Okay.
Our common measuring for pints, pints usually. I think it's come in pints and stuff.
Well, it also come in half pint. Okay. Well, strawberries come in pound, 1 pint, and 2 pints.
Right. So you know, you say different country, different place, but they sell different sizes.
It's generally, you don't buy like 3 strawberries. You buy like a pint or 2 pints.
Well, two. So okay. Which one is it? You want 1 pint or 2 pints? Which one do you want? Buying. So, wait a second. Wait. Then the opposite question. What happens if something else comes huge? What happens if you buy cabbage? Okay, cabbage comes 10... The cabbages are used to make sauerkraut, like 10 pounds a piece. Okay? So, does that mean is that if there's one bug in 100 pounds of sauerkraut, that means it's a mir hamotzi? Do you know how much is 100 pounds of sauerkraut? Okay? How about like this? Here's another one. How about if there's bugs in reservoirs? Okay? So that means if there's one bug in 10 reservoirs worth of water, then that water is a mir hamotzi? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? If we take our unit.
That's why Yossi's suggestion is much better.
Go by the pipe. No. This is a question on the ones who said that it goes by the item, right? Instead of by the servant. Okay. So the other guy says, see, it goes by the servant. Okay, we have the same questions for the servants. Okay, my example is as follows. Basil, I hope I pronounced it correctly. Basil is used. I have 4 different foods that they use basil on: pasta sauce, salad dressing, veggie burgers, and something called pasta pesto. Okay. Well. Guess what? Use a different amount of basil in each one of those things. Okay? According to a cheshbon, whether the cheshbon is right, it's not important. I'm using it for illustrative purposes. Okay? They made a cheshbon of how many bugs there are in basil, and they figured out like this, and then they looked at how much basil goes into these foods. And they found like this. Well, there's one bug in every 80 servings of pasta sauce. But there's one bug in every 250 servings of salad dressing. And there's one bug in every 300 veggie burgers. Because you use so little. Wait a second! But there's more than one bug in every serving, in pasta pesto, because this stuff is like buried in basil. Okay, well, so which one should you use? You want to say it goes by the servings. Okay, well, which basil do you want to use? A basil, mir hamotzi, is not. And you say, oh my gosh, it's one in every 300 veggie burgers. Nah, it's not mutsi. What if it's more than even one bug in every serving of pasta pesto? Okay, so which serving should we use? So you say, okay. So you say, we'll use it every time the servant starts to see, whichever one I eat, that's what it depends on. Okay, so that's that would work. If you're sitting in your house, you want to know, should I check my parsley, should I not check my parsley? Depends what you're doing with it. What happens if you want to give hashkacha to it? Okay, so how are you going to give hashkacha? How can you decide if the food needs to be checked or doesn't need checked? How are you going to say? You say, look, most people eat an ounce of a certain food for every serving. Okay? So you say, there's only one bug in every 20 ounces. Fine, we can give hashkacha without checking it, because there's only one bug in every 20 ounces. Okay. What happens if you get some mishukana who wakes up in the middle of the night, he's dying to eat this food, and he eats 5 ounces of the food? So you just serve him treif, because for him, one bug in every 20 ounces is an amina matzah. So what are you going to do with the guy? Okay. And then from a completely different angle, isn't it odd that aside from the Mishkan's Yaakov, and aside up until 20 years ago, none of the place can talk about this. No one describes what it means to be being hamotzi. Nobody that I know of. There's no description. In the past 20 years, there's a zillion people talked about it. But until 20 years ago, besides the Mishkan and Yaakov, there's no one giving these scientific, mathematical explanations for it. And also, it's hard to even understand this. Is that what Chazal expected from us? We also said multi-year studies through all different kinds of variables to determine which foods are being hamotzi. And all of these questions... All the ones that I'm saying to you, all very much point to what Rav Ossner said. I have to tell you, all these points to Rav Ossner that it isn't so mathematical. Because when you start being so mathematical, we run into all these different kinds of problems, and that it's a much more intuitive approach. That there's some kind of intuitive understanding is either you're surprised to see bugs or you're not surprised to see bugs. Everybody knows that lettuce has bugs in it, and everybody knows that carrots don't have bugs in them. And I guess someplace in our mind we have some way of quantifying this way and that way, but it's not. It's not something we can make so easy and say 10% yes, not 10% no. And somehow it seems that all that points in the direction of what Rav Ossner and Rabelsky are saying, that there has to be a logical. But Rabelsky is really a variation. Rabelsky really likes 10%, but he says that 10% has to be tempered by some seichel. In other words, don't be so attached to 10% to the extent that you ignore the fact that sometimes things sound ridiculous.
I don't get it. It's not 10% at all.
What? He's like in between. He sort of like goes with... In other words, he says that 10% is like a guide.
It's like
the no, it's not the subject. It's like a guide. The 10% gives you like a rough idea of having to decide whether it is or is not mostly. But when it gets to be absurd, then he ignores it. In other words, he has to use a certain amount of seichel when he... Okay, now... I have to tell you, the good news is The good news is, after I gave you all the bad news, the good news is, well, what I thought was bad news, the good news is that there's usually no machlokes. That's the truth. There's usually no practical difference between what this pshita and that pshita, and everybody basically knows what's minamotz and what's not minamotz. Okay? They sort of, everyone sort of gets it on their own, and everyone sort of agrees which things have to be checked and not checked. Okay? Everyone sort of, all these different opinions, there isn't much, so much of a difference between them. That's the truth. There is, however, one case where it came out to be practical nafkamina, and that was, maybe you're ready getting understanding what I'm about to say, which was the copepods in New York. The copepods, the bugs in the water in New York. Where, in order for the bugs to be usher, we talked about way back when, that in order to be usher, they need to have been, there are shilas about whether the bugs in the water in that situation were usher. That was way back in the beginning of the sitting. Then the shilas was whether the bugs are big enough to be usher. But there is another question. What if they are, they have to be common enough also for them to be usher. So even, if there would be one bug, once a year you'd find the bug that was usher, that wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be me and Hamotzi. So the one element of making the bugs usher is that they have to be Motzi. They have to be common. So the people who discovered these bugs, or who were working with these bugs, had to prove and had to show that in fact it was me and Hamotzi. Okay, and they made all kinds of calculations to show that in fact it was Motzi. It was common enough to meet this qualification of being me and Hamotzi. Okay, so there's two arguments to that. The first one is not negate what we were just saying. The first is what we call bait and switch. Okay. Which is to say, they would say is, they'd show you a bug, and they'd say, see how big this bug is? See these bugs? See how big they are? These are the bugs that we're finding in the water. And you say, really? They say, yes. And you know what? We find them one bug in every X number of ounces. And the implication is that the bug that you're seeing in front of you, we're finding that size bug in that many ounces. And the statistics, in every 12 ounces of water, there's bugs. There's a bug. Really? Every 12 ounces of water? I mean, every cup and a half I drink has a bug? Yes. But the bug that you're being shown is not the bug that in every 12 ounces.
What do they took the biggest bug there is?
Right, because they here's a cup full of huge bugs, collected from 500 ounces of water. But the statistics were not necessarily... No, that's what I'm saying. That's what bait and switch. Because I show you the big one, but when I tell you my statistics, I'm not telling you that the statistics were not based on...
I'm sure they'll tell you. We're showing you a big one. They give you an example of what these things are. And... Now, luckily, the small ones are just as awesome.
That's exactly it. Muhammad. But the person who's listening doesn't necessarily agree to... You made a decision that even the small ones are awesome. Right, that he might not agree to. So what's not being so straight about that. But what was more, and again, to what we're talking about is, Rabelsky said like this. He said, guys, he said, you're telling me that it's Motzi. You came with all mathematical calculations that it's Motzi. I told you this idea before, and he said, millions of people living in New York. And there have been, for 100 years, there have been millions of people living here, and they're all drinking the same water. How can you say that it's Motzi when nobody can see it? You think Motzi, it happens all the time. He says, where's the logic to say that this thing is Motzi? He's being makel. Usually Rabelsky's way of looking at it is a chumrah. In this case, it's a kula. He says, how can you say, based on numbers, you made your calculations of percentages, therefore it's usher. Therefore, it's Motzi. He says, Motzi? He says, no one can see it. All these people are drinking water.
It sounds like you're confusing it. Well, Motzi, not Motzi, whether the Hamashiach question if the bug this size is Motzi or us or not.
Okay, you're right that if we throw in the question of size, we'll maybe be miyash of the question. He won't have such a question on them, but...
He'll grant you that it's Motzi. Just say it's Motzi.
It's two different questions. Okay, two different questions. You're right. You can... One is to say is... What you're looking at, you're making your numbers based on a certain size, and I disagree about that size, and the male, even you shouldn't be that it's not Motzi. But he's saying, forget about the detail of it. He says, no, you're looking at the trees. He says, look at the forest. He says, look at the big picture. You want to claim to me that this thing is Motzi. If it would be Motzi, how could no one ever saw it until you guys woke up? Even after you saw it, most people can't find it. So, in other words, you're talking about the detail. The reason why you're making a mistake in your calculations is I have an explanation why I make a mistake. We're saying the whole musag is we're saying it's Motzi. Well, it can't be Motzi if no one ever saw it. That's all. Okay. Just to wind down, I have to mention three, four things about when you make the cheshbon of something being me and a Motzi. As I've already said, you get the hang of it is that when you're trying to count whether something is Motzi or not Motzi, what we talked about in Halacha Ches, about how big a bug has to be usher, plays a very critical role. Because if I think that this size bug is usher, and you think that size bug is mutter, then I may come to a different understanding of whether it's mutter or not mutter. Okay, we don't have the same set of rules. So the first thing we have to decide if it's mutsi is, well, which bugs are the ones that count towards being asur or mutter? How can I say if it's mutsi if we haven't yet first decided what is or is not a bug? And in fact, there was a project, a bunch of hashkafas were going to work on, they got caught on exactly that. They were trying to work on a project of working on mutsi, and they got stuck right on that spot, which is, well, how are we going to, they couldn't come to terms or to an agreement as to what was or was not mutsi, what was the size that was asur. How could we make statistics if we don't agree what we're looking at? Okay.
So tell me which Hashkafa said that not every bug is awesome.
We'll wait for the tape to be. The second thing is, in order to make this determination whether it's mutter or not, you have to use people, this is sort of what Don said before, who know what they're looking at. I once visited a company, somebody gives Hashkafa on a very infested, a vegetable that is assumed to be infested, and I said to him, what do you do about the bugs in this vegetable? He said, I don't see any bugs. We don't have any bugs here. So I said to the person, I said, if you don't see any bugs in here, but the whole world thinks that there are bugs in that vegetable, whatever the vegetable was, I said, did you ever go with your vegetable to someone who knows where the bugs are to show them to you? You can't judge whether it's mutter or not. If you never find it and everyone else thinks it is, either they're all crazy or you're missing something. So you have to be able to, humble yourself to go to somebody else and say, show me where the bugs are because I must be missing something. Okay, so the second thing, the guy who's looking has to be able to know what he's looking at. And if he never saw the bug in that vegetable, then he's not the right person. Okay. Also is, when we judge whether something is mutter or not, foods go through different stages. For example, celery, well, at least certain places when you buy celery, there are bugs all over the place. Okay, there's bugs on every stalk. It's got a bug on it. So if you look at celery as it comes out of the ground, it is mutter. Well, maybe it's even worse than mutter. But if you wash it, then there's very few bugs on it. Very easy to clean them off. So, washed celery and unwashed celery are not really the same thing. So when we make our judgment whether something is mutter or not mutter, we can't just lump everything together. There's different, it goes through different stages. This might be yes mutter or not mutter in the same food. The same food might have that. And lastly is that it's not only the same food, but there's lots of other factors that decide whether something's going to be infested. And those are also, so when we break down food, is it mutter or is it not mutter, we have to think about those also. For example, If you grow broccoli in California in the summer, you're going to have bugs in it. Okay? My judgment. You're going to have bugs in it. If you grow broccoli in the cold mountains of Guatemala, you're not going to have bugs in it. They don't bugs, for whatever, that's just the way it grows. In that climate, in that situation, they don't get bugs in them. So you can't even just say, I'm taking broccoli that was not washed, and it is mutsy or it's not mutsy. There are other factors, like as in where it grows and how rainy the season is, or the location, there are other parts to making a determination, yes, it's mutsy or no, it's not. And deciding that, these other things come into play also, in making that, because it's really not the same thing. This vegetable and that vegetable, they look the same, but they're not really the same.